You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, covering the Pacers for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News. And today, the Pacers play their final preseason game, a home game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're going to talk about that, and then we are going to preview the upcoming season for my main man, Edmund Sumner. You all know how psyched I am about him. So, a little preface here. It is currently October 10th, Thursday, October 10th, before the Pacers-Bulls game that I am speaking. I am going to Florida. I'm in Florida, if you're listening to this right now. So I couldn't bring, of course, my podcasting equipment there. Well, I can, but I'm not going to ditch people in Florida to record a show, so I'm doing this early. So if anyone is injured for the Timberwolves or the Pacers that I missed, I'm sorry about that. And, like, I don't know if Gog is going to play yet, but I think Leaf's going to play. He is healthy for the Bulls game tomorrow, so I can do my best to preview this game. I can talk about both teams and stuff like that. So the Timberwolves will be a fun matchup for the Pacers just because of Karl Anthony Towns. He's always a good litmus test for some defensive stuff. He always does well against the Pacers, right? He can score inside. He always does well against everybody, let's be honest. But from a Pacers standpoint, he does so well because he can do basically anything inside and out. And Turner, we all know, can handle the defense on the inside, no problem. He's pretty good at that. But when it comes to defending the perimeter, he's much weaker because Cat is able to stretch guys out and he can score off the dribble and basically do anything. He's impossible for Turner or anybody to handle. And I think it's always a good test of how Turner's doing, how his defense is doing, and even where the Timberwolves are at. Like last year in Banker's life, I think he had 40 or something like that. And he had like 27 in the first quarter. The Timberwolves lost that game. I mean, that's a good summary of the Timberwolves in general, but that's watching Cat is always a good test for me. In their first game, they played the Suns, and they actually lost. So I'm not sure how great the Timberwolves are at this point in time. But all the beat writers and the few clips I've watched of people of clipping it, but Cat is passing more. He might get more assists this year, and they have some better shooters and initiators than they have in years past. So perhaps he will be distributing more, which could make Miles look a little better, not giving up that many points. But it is what it is. But I'm really interested in that matchup. I think it'll be exciting to see how Turner does, if he's forced to stretch out or if they, you know, maybe makes a bonus guard him on the perimeter or something like that. Who knows? Another matchup that I'm watching for, excuse me, is on the other end of the floor. That is Robert Covington guarding our man TJ Warren. Warren has proven that he can score off the bounce. He can hit jumpers. He can just really skate around no problem. Meanwhile, Covington, fantastic defender, probably one of the best three or five wing defenders in the league. You know, he can shut down anybody on a given night. So I think we'll learn two things. One, can Warren score on that kind of guy if he gets matched up with him? Because two is, you know, do the Wolves think, okay, we should throw Covington to completely shut down Warren, or are they comfortable giving Warren a bit of space and let Covington, you know, do some more stuff and roam a little more off ball? Because, I mean, if they lack respect in Warren's game, and it helps them contain other actions, and it works for them, maybe that's something we'll see in the season more. But if he's forced to really get on Warren because he's killing him, that bodes well for the Pacers, even if Warren himself can't necessarily beat him. So that will be interesting for me to see. Other than that, though, the Wolves don't really have anyone super interesting. It'll be Caleb Martin, Butler legend, on a two-way contract now. It'll be, I think, his first return back to it definitely is his first return to Banker's Life since then. I don't know if he's been back to Indy or not since. But he played well for the Wolves in Summer League. I'm sure he'll play in the game. It's the last preseason game. Two-way guys, end of roster guys get a chance to go. But other than that, yeah, no one on the Wolves really is exciting or like a matchup problem or is going to teach us a ton about the Pacers in this final preseason game. You know, Jeff Teague used to be quick, and maybe that could be something to monitor for Brogdon, who had trouble-ish with Fox. Trouble's the wrong word, but you know what I'm saying, but he's not quick anymore. You know, nothing really to worry about there. Same with their backup, Shabazz Napier. Their other guy, Wiggins, you know, can score, but it takes him 20 shots to get 22 points, you know, whatever. I'm not even worried about TJ Warren guarding him, and TJ Warren is not proven to be the best off-ball defender. Wiggins will be off the ball a lot. Doesn't really matter. He's not the best player ever. A guy I'm interested in is Jarrett Culver, but not really from a Pacers standpoint. He's just a good player. But really, it's just Cat and Covington, right? Everybody else is kind of this cursory, you know, could be good, could be bad. They have a lot of sneaky good rotation players in Minnesota, but not really like your impact, do a lot of awesome stuff kind of guys, which they could use another one of those pretty badly. But I think they had a good summer in that they got all these depth pieces. They just, it's not really like the best fitting roster that can totally kill a team or anything like that. So, yeah, that's my biggest watch is how do they try to contain Cat and what is the defensive strategy from Minnesota on TJ Warren? I think that will be fascinating to watch. But I'm sure there's been reports in the interim from me now on Thursday and now. But, you know, is Goga going to play? I'll be interested to see that. I'm sure you guys already know if you're listening. And how many minutes of the starters playing? You know, the reporting right now says that McMillan wants them to play a fair amount of minutes every preseason game just because there's so many new guys and because their training camp, you know, got interrupted. They have to get up to speed. They practiced in Banker's Life today, the day I'm recording Thursday, to, like, you know, get used to the stadium and things like that, the lights, all that stuff. So they're really getting ready for this kind of stuff. It'll be interesting to see who plays, who doesn't, and how they ramp up for the season. But that's it. They'll be done with the preseason tonight. Adam will talk about the game tomorrow. But now, it doesn't matter when I record this part, I want to preview the season of none other than Edmund Sumner, my man, my fave dude. So let's do it. Let's talk Edmund Sumner. Ed just every preseason wows me, right? And it's preseason. You know, it hasn't really shown in the regular season yet. So you always got to pump the brakes. But he just does, like, skates by dudes in control this year. Last year he was just speedy. This year he's, like, skating by guys in control and hitting tough jumpers and passing. And, you know, he's just, because he's this tall guard, which allows him to do a lot of stuff because of his height. And it just, it all impresses me so much. You know, we haven't really seen, he's really unique. You know, you don't really see a lot of guys like him and have the skill sets he has. That's why I think it's so fun to watch him play. Last year was interesting because he was really good in the G League, right? And I know that doesn't mean a ton, but, you know, 26 games is a big sample size. He shot 53% from two-point range, 36% from three-point range on six attempts per game, by the way. And averaged 22 points and four assists. Like, he was damn good for the Mad Ants last year, one of their better players. True shooting percentage at 57, that'd be above average. Obviously, these are against G League guys because, you know, we all saw how poorly he shot with the Pacers. But some of that's just jitters, right? Like, Aaron Holiday banked in his first three as a pro, and I talked to him about that last year. He said basically something like, yeah, I was nervous. I just checked in. So there's jitters. Like, and Sumner had debuted the year before as a rookie, but there were no expectations. This time last year, he's in the starting lineup. He played 26 games. Excuse me, I'm looking at the 401 page. He played 23 games, and, you know, we all saw that he got thrown into that Warriors game, and he was playing more minutes before they brought in Wesley Matthews, and he just, I'm sure he was nervous and jittery, and that's obviously a negative flaw in his game because he ended up shooting 26% from three, 40% from the field. True shooting percentage ended up at 44.3. That's terrible. But I think he'll be more settled in this year, both because his role will be more defined, right? I think he'll know, I am with this second unit. I play with these guys. My role with these guys is X, Y, Z, and that will help him, you know, be better. I think he'll just play better with a more defined role, and there's less pressure on him. You know, he doesn't have to be a starter guarding Klay Thompson and fit in the shoes of Victor Oladipo. This time he is Edmund Sumner with the second unit doing that stuff. And that's all anecdotal. It's not really a way I'm good at. I'm not bad at it, but I'm not as good at articulating anecdotal thoughts about situations. But I think this could be, you know, he finally gets more comfortable and shuttles in and shows what kind of NBA player he can really be, because, you know, last year only averaged 3 points and half an assist in, you know, 10 minutes per game. And his minutes per game is weird because he's played like 30 or 5, right? But I think we'll see, you know, with his stats be significantly better. Even though his minutes might only tick up to like 15 or 20, I think he's going to just look substantially better as a more comfortable player. So some other stats, I just rattled off efficiency and passing. But some other stuff that jumps out to me, he had a pretty low turnover rate, both in the G League and in the pros. 13.8 in the G League with his crazy high, 30% usage is really good. And then in with the Pacers, only 11.8%. That's good. That's pretty low for a guard. He didn't have the ball a ton with the Pacers, but I think that number will go down as he's more comfortable, and that will inherently help him fit with, you know, either McConnell or Holiday, or even if he's the second unit point guard, that'll help him quite a bit. And then he has pretty good steal rate as well. And this is the other part of his game that I wanted to highlight from last year, is he's just an awesome defender. 2.8 steals per 100 last year. That's awesome. And I think, to me, watching him play D, he just stands out so much with that length. You know, he gave Klay Thompson a fit in that first game he started last year. He did some good stuff against the Orlando Magic as well, against Evan Fournier. He just can get his hands in the way. He had 2 blocks and 2 steals in his starting debut. He contests everything. He's quick, and he gives a ton of hustle. He ran from the opposite end corner to almost block a shot against the Warriors as well. I watched this game twice to see the Ed debut recently. It's my favorite thing. He's just everywhere, and his long arms and speed and athleticism all just kind of tangle together and look great. And it's fantastic to see how he does on the end of the floor. I think that's where his ceiling is actually higher, is on defense than offense. If he can skate around like he does on offense and control, imagine what he can do, you know, if he's given a chance to roam a little bit or to speed around and try to disrupt things. I think he'll fit in really well on that end. I think he and McConnell, if they play together, you know, I think Holiday should be the backup, but if he and McConnell end up playing together, they could be a real force on opposing guards. And if they have Justin Holiday, the 3, whew, that's a good defensive second unit. So I look forward to how he fits in on D with that second group. I think him and Goga will have some good defensive chemistry too, just because Goga's good at, you know, keeping guys away from the basket and kind of surveying what's going on around him. Him and Ed will work well together. So I think there's a lot to like about Ed's baseline, despite his stats not being super awesome last year. Just an odd situation for him, especially because he was on a two-way, you know, when he debuted. That was before they promoted his deal. You know, he didn't really know what his future held too. There's just a lot of reasons to say this is not the real him. And we have other examples that I think are the real him, like him. You know, he can lead in the G League. He's too good, right? He's just too good. And that is encouraging. And in the summer league time minutes he did play last year when he wasn't hurt, he was good. This year he wasn't as good, but he was hurt. And every preseason he's good against actual NBA players. So again, I think there's evidence he can be good. He's just not been in the perfect situation to do it until now, and I think we might see that from him this year, and I'm really looking forward to it. And now I want to look ahead more at this season and what he could fit, what his stats might end up being, and stuff like that. So let's do it. So to me, projecting what his final stat line might look like, what his role might actualize to be, that's kind of what I'm going to say, is a lot of, you know, what he's asked to do will depend on, you know, do they say, Ed, okay, you're with the second unit, here's the ball, go create for your teammates or yourself, or do they say, Ed, go over here on the wing and run the action while Aaron does that stuff, and then if nothing works, we'll throw it to you and you can try to do stuff. You know, I think he is capable in both roles. I think he might be a little better in that second one, but his stats won't look as popping in the second one, especially alongside Aaron, who, you know, is still learning the game a little bit. So I think that will be fascinating to see for him, both in actuality and on the stat sheet. You know, I think because he can jump so high, he's a threat for lobs, and he's quick. I think him coming off of cuts and screens early in a possession, and then he can go downhill and create if he gets an entry pass or something like that, I think that's a great role for him. You know, with the defense already scrambling a little, this 6'6" guy who can jump out of the gym and blow right by, he's got the ball, and you just have to react, and I think he's going to be good in those instances, especially if his three-point shot gets a little better. He works on it all the time. Joey Burton, his trainer, is awesome. Anyway, got it up to 36% in the G League last year. I already said that, but that's a respectable percentage, especially on 6 attempts per game. You know, you can keep up that volume. So if he can get that going, I think that will make guys have to come out on him a little harder, which will create even more space for him. And then he'd be so hard to guard if everything clicks in the way it looks like it can. But the other option is, you know, you say, okay, Aaron, you can shoot, and, you know, TJ, you can distribute. I don't think McConnell would ever really play off the ball, but you say, Ed, you know what? Here you go. Take it off the floor. You know, initiate the offense. If your defender's sagging, shoot, or the vice versa, drive to the basket. I think he's capable of that. You know, you look at his G League stats, and I don't want to lean too heavily on the G League stats because they are G League stats, but borderline 30% usage is crazy, right? That's like what Paul George and Vic end up having. You know, that's how many possessions they're saying, Ed, do the thing. And he's, you know, he did well in the G League, and I think he's capable of handling that kind of usage. Maybe not in the pros. Maybe that number drops a little bit, but not a ton. And I don't, he doesn't, like in preseason, he hasn't shied away from it. You know, when he's asked to create, he gets to the rim for the buzzer beater against the Kings, or hits the step back, or hit the guy in the corner, or the dump. He does all this stuff that you're just like, yeah, Ed, you know, like that was the play. That was good. So I think either role he could do fine, but I think one, well, that second one we just talked about will just naturally lead to higher stats for anyone, including Sumner. So if he is more of the point guard with, you know, Aaron or McConnell or whoever the heck he's paired with, you know, maybe it's Justin Holiday and McDermott. If he's in that point guard more role, I think he ends up this year in like the 15 to 20 minute range per game. Because he's going to probably be fighting for a rotation spot once Vic returns, right? So that's another factor here is his minutes could be really high early and then really low later. So I'm going to actually say like 10 to 15 minutes per game is where he ends up. With about 8 points, maybe 7 points, and 2 assists if he is that lead ball handler guy. I don't know that he'll pass a ton. Maybe 2.5 assists. Just not, you know, tidy little backup point guard stats. But if he's more of that off-ball guy, I think you could see him closer to that 8-point mark and less assists. But, yeah, it's just going to be very interesting for me to see what he's asked to do, what he ends up doing for the Pacers. And ultimately, this is way looking down the road. But, you know, Vic comes back, right? So Jeremy Lamb is now your bench too. Done, sold. He's better than Edmund right now. Between McConnell and Holiday and the other Holiday and McDermott, and McDermott can even move up and boot out Leaf. Like, you have a lot of guys you could boot out of the rotation if you wanted to keep Sumner in it. So those backup 2 through 4 spots, you know, are fighting to keep their spot when Vic returns. And I think it's going to be interesting to see who gets it and how and what the positions end up being. But that could change what Ed's doing and impact his stats. So it's hard to say what he really could end up at. But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. I think Ed's going to be good. He's one of my quote-unquote guys, and it's going to be fun to watch. Enjoy the game tonight. Adam will be back, as I said, tomorrow to talk about it, recap it, all that stuff. I will see you guys myself, I believe, on Friday to talk about Alzay Johnson and the lovely two-way players, Brian Bowen and Nazmi Drulag. See you guys very soon. Have a great one.